Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
One of my life's philosophies is that don't be afraid to make a mistake. You gotta play free. We gotta play without fear of failure.
Well, they still need to clear. It's turned over. Here's a pass in front. Big save by Lukanen, reaching back again as he was headed the other way.
To the Islander line, right circle. Norris slows it down, scores! Oh, he makes it look so easy.
In across the Ottawa line. For Byram, one. Tyra scores! Bo Byram, overtime winner. Christmas Saberhood, Buffalo continues their winning ways as the streak marches on.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Give it to him.
Good morning, everybody.
You are freaking right. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Woo!
7 in a row. And it has been a fun time, really, the whole way. It has been a good time.
I am geeked up right now, as you can clearly tell. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. No, you're on crazy pills. This is just normal Derek Kramer, and that's Zach Jones. 7 in a row.
18-14-4, the Buffalo Sabres do now sit. The number is really 2 or 3, depending on where you want in terms of the points. And now heading into the Christmas break, they've made up for the poorer start they had to this season. And they've caught up to a lot of the teams that they can start passing. They've only really passed, I think, what, one or two teams in this run?
They've passed three teams in this run officially. Okay. Letting Ottawa get away with a point kind of was annoying because now they're still ahead of you. But
sure, right.
The Buffalo Sabres, literally, and that word gets thrown out pretty fast and loose these days, right? Literally are the hottest team in the National Hockey League.
Is it outside of Colorado they had the longest win streak?
No.
No, they have the longest win streak. Colorado's behind them.
I said literally.
Yeah, Colorado's behind them.
And it is fascinating, though, that even though they didn't really move up a lot, people are still feeling good about it. Why? Because it's seven in a row. You have created a situation where, yeah, you still got to pass some teams, but now all you got to do is stack three wins together or make sure you're playing consistently enough, winning four out of six, like in future stretches. It turns the Dallas game at the end of 2025 into, okay, I'm not worried if you lose that game.
Right, it's not the end-all be-all. It's not a disaster. So where they sit now, they're 1 point behind Ottawa, New Jersey, and Boston. They're 2 points behind the Rangers and Florida. Florida sits in that last wild card spot. And then they are now 3 points behind Tampa Bay, who sits as the third team in the Atlantic. So they've caught everybody. Now you're in play with everyone. Now it's no longer, because Paul talks about this a lot, where it's you've got to jump all these teams. You can go on runs, but are you going to be able to jump all these teams? They've caught all of them. They are now within play at the end of the year. This is not something where we've only got four games left to play. No, you're going to have half the season now. You just hope this isn't just and I threw it up on Twitter, 803-0550, if you want to jump and give your thoughts. You just hope this is not a mirage, because we're all having good feelings, but the other win streak that people think about is that 10-game win streak in 18 and 19, right? And where they were at that point, that was in November, not December. But at the end of that win streak, a 3-2 overtime win over San Jose, the same score as yesterday. The only difference was that game was at home. This one was on the road, and it against Ottawa. They were 17-6-2.
Oh, my God, that's right. So the thing about it is, ultimately, even if they do not make the playoffs, I'm going to appreciate this season, because a year ago, Zach, we did this show quite literally on Christmas Eve, and the Buffalo Sabres won a game to snap a 13-game losing streak.
Christmas miracle.
And now here we are 1 year later, mm-hmm. to the day, making another crazy Sabres open. But the energy is far more different. It also tells you the hole that they dug themselves in the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah.
That they've only passed three teams, and they're still not in a playoff spot, despite being the hottest team in the National Hockey League. Typically, win streaks vault you up the standings. This is not that. They dug themselves a hole. This is how the general manager gets let go. It's because they had such a hole to dig out of. To win seven in a row and only go up one spot in your entire division tells you the work that they've had to do. But something that Paul has said with us a couple times over the years now, Zach, is, do you trust this team to win five, six, seven in a row? Well, now they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the longest win streak since that 10-gamer in 2018. And it is also an opportunity to continue to feed. Try to keep winning these games. By God, get some get back against Boston this year, please.
That'd be nice.
If you can't do that in the midst of being the most confident that you could play as a hockey team, winning seven in a row, then I'm kicking the next Bostonian in the shin. No, I'm not. But that would be my feelings at that point. Because, like, obviously the Patriots, they have Drake May, and the Bruins would sweep the Sabres, I think, within the first two, three months of the season. But, yeah, if you can't – oh, there's another game all the way in March. But, yeah, if you lose three times to Boston to start this year, please don't. Like, let's not.
Right, but you even talk about Boston. I mean, their biggest problem they're running into now, actually, is just games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Boston has two games on them. The Rangers have three games on them. So, I mean, they've only moved up a little bit here in this win streak, but it's mainly due to the fact that they've played less games than a lot of Eastern Conference teams.
They've played as many games as a lot of teams in their division.
Yes.
Only Montreal and Boston.
It's overall the Eastern Conference. I will say, though, and it's not that I want to necessarily get negative. I do want to bring this up because someone brought up to my attention last night on Twitter, and it was in the back of my mind, and I was kind of waiting for someone to bring it up. But when you talk about 18-19, this is the longest win streak since then. not only did that season ultimately collapse in on itself and become a real disaster, culminating in a March where they go 2-12, 2-12-2, you know, it was a disaster. But really, the signs were there that that win streak was a mirage. They win 10 in a row. 7 of them were overtime or shootout wins. They were very tightly contested games, even the ones that don't ultimately go to overtime. The third game of that streak is a 2-1 win at home against Tampa. They've got a, I'm looking for it, 3-2 win over Minnesota. The only win that is by multiple goals is later in the streak, a 5-2 win at home against Philadelphia. Everything about that win streak was just so tightly contested. They were exciting games, don't get me wrong. That was a big part of why we all still appreciate that win streak all these years later, even knowing how it ended. But those were tightly contested games. You do look at this win streak. There are similar signs. It's 7 straight. 3 of them have gone to overtime or shootout. And then it's 3-2 over Vancouver, 3-1 Seattle. Even New Jersey, it's 3-1. But we're all talking about the Krebs empty netter to end it. I think most of us are probably sitting there going, this one's going to overtime. They're gonna equalize. It's going to be 2-2, and here we go again. And then, of course, sandwiched in between the New Jersey game, it is the shootout win against the Islanders 3-2 and last night's 3-2 win against Ottawa in overtime. There are some signs there that they are a little bit on a balancing beam. This is why I've talked about how much I appreciate that now Jarmo Kekalainen is in charge, is because of things like this where we can all get excited. We can have fun with this.
Yes.
They have to sit there and go, no, where are the issues? Where is the problem in this whole thing? You know, we were talking about it off air. Colorado has lost, what, 9 total times this year, 2 of which is in regulation. But realistically, probably internally, they're sitting there going, okay, where are the cracks in the foundation? Where's this going to go? Are we too hot, too fast? Do we need to kind of not start losing games, but really think about, no, we're gonna have to rock the boat here come playoff time, so this is not the best run here. The Sabres are hopefully sitting there going, no, we got into this job for a reason. The foundations were not solid. This is a great run. It makes our job much easier. You hope now that guys like Jarmo Kekalainen being in the general manager position, guys like Mark Bergevin being in the associate general manager position, can start to convince agents and players of like, no, you can take us off your no trade list. We are in a better spot now than we have been in the last 10 years, 5 years definitely. And you can start to convince players, because you're going to have to. Because right now, I mean, I'm sitting here waiting with bated breath, with anticipation of Jason Zucker being back in the lineup, because the scoring isn't the best right now.
But I will say there is something about this win streak that is kind of piquing my interest. It's who they're beating.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think about it really because of, you know, sometimes it could be hard for Sabres fans to follow the rest of the NHL because of how historically over the years now, what does it really matter where these other teams are in the standings? They're just going to beat the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with Edmonton, Vancouver, and Seattle, a trio of Western Conference teams that are all having their own kind of headaches. Don't look now, though. Edmonton has, and I'll talk more about that later, but Edmonton is tied for the division lead in the Pacific now.
Yeah, they figured it out.
They figured it out, mostly on the back of one player, but still. They beat Philadelphia and New York, the Islanders. Those two teams are in the top three of the Metro. New Jersey is a team that the Sabres have had a problem with over the past few years. The nose and hit on Thompson, but also looking, so that's the one win over the past 2 years before the win streak win, because they lose the 2 games in Europe to the Devils, mm-hmm, and get outclassed pretty badly in them. They win the game where Tage gets concussed by Nosen on a bad hit and don't respond to it, and it felt like a loss. They lose the game where Thompson drops the gloves with Nosen, does well for himself, and then the Sabres get caved in to a point where they're chanting fire the GM.
Yep.
It is something to, okay, good. Now you're figuring it out. You're beating teams that have kind of had your number. And If you can keep going, and here's another one, Boston. They've beaten you twice already to start the year, infuriatingly so. The Bruins are on the heels of when they were like in that stretch of like getting loser points.
Yep.
But also, they were the second loss of the campaign where you dig yourselves into that 0-3 hole to start. You beat them. You get your revenge against St. Louis, maybe. A team that you should have won against. And not only did you not get a point there, you embarrassed yourselves at home. And that was the midst of a 5-game losing streak that put them in the bottom of the league again. Or not the bottom of the East again. And then there's Dallas. A team that is far better than you in terms of roster construction and success in recent histories. Try to get it going. Just try to get it going. And if you can get some wins against these three teams coming up, it kind of will show. Well, first of all, I might have to figure out something stupid to do for the content machine if they hit 10 in a row. I'm not lying to you. I would be lying to myself if I didn't think about it.
But be nice on New Year's Eve. I mean, that's asking a lot. That's still three more.
It's three more away.
But it is still a Boston team who is not what it was a few years ago. You're playing well. That game is also going to be home.
And yet they have your number.
They have your number, but that game's at home. I tweeted out yesterday, and it seems to be a lot of people agree. That's going to be an experience. I will be in attendance for that game. I can't wait. It's a night game as well. You get a bad St. Louis team, and you maybe to me, the thing I'm happiest about with this win streak, even if I think there are some foundational cracks here where I'm like, okay, let's not overly do it here, right? Like I'm excited, don't get me wrong. I'm more talking the team of like, let's not think everything is fine. I think two things I think have been wonderful. One, the goaltending. Lyon is 6-0 in this run. He's been exceptional. Then Lukanen, in his one start in this, was phenomenal. He lets up one goal against New Jersey, and outside of that, he keeps them in the game in the first and then makes the timely saves throughout the game. They dominate most of the second period and third period, but he was great. And then the other thing is, Derek, and we've talked about this a lot, both with Paul and then our, you know, both on air, off air, the whole thing, their road woes. They're not 500 on the road yet, but boy, have they figured it out. Most of this win streak has been on the road.
5 wins on the road during this winning streak is important because they entered the Western Canada trip with 2 road wins. And then halfway through the Western Canada trip, they still had 2 road wins.
Mm-hmm.
Then they close it out with 3, more than double it, and then they've added a couple more on there for good measure. The goalie thing, I'll tell you right now. Like, the coach has mismanaged it a little bit. But all of a sudden, Colton Ellis gets hurt, and you have a 2-goalie rotation, and the goalies are playing better. Who would have thunk it? This is why you don't regularly carry 3 goaltenders.
Yeah.
Because you mess up the flow of every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to jump on, give your thoughts. It does suck, though, that we've now hit the Christmas break. Like this is the part that sucks, and
they'll
was wondering.
Be back in 4 days.
Oh,
the last time they had a 4-day break, they did just fine.
But like,
oddly enough,
I am sitting here going like, oh no, am I going to now hate the Olympics because the Sabres may have really gotten themselves back into it?
When is that break?
And then we're off for a little while. That's something I'm thinking about.
That's in February.
I know. But I'm sitting here going like, don't get hot or don't have one of those runs where you're on, and then it's a problem. Now you bring up it's a 4-day break. It's nothing crazy, but it's one of those where I like that they've just had to keep playing, keep going the whole thing. They've had to go on this run. They haven't practiced a ton. They've just had to just kind of react. I think that's been the best thing for them. It's a short break. It's not going to be anything crazy. I just would love if the league was back on Friday, not Saturday.
I will say it, but the Sabres did this. They had that long layoff.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first period against Philadelphia at home, they look like a team that hadn't played in 4 days. Good news is the rest of the league is going to be right with you.
Right. It's not like you're the team that
you're
is
not
like,
the
oh,
only.
Okay.
Like, you're not the team with that. I cannot contain my excitement because I'm one of those goofy Sabres fans that's ready to get hurt every single time that they show some sort of promise.
And you're honest about it, and I respect that.
Yeah,
with you.
I have a problem. That's just how I am. That's who I am. I can't deny my flaws. You're denying your flaws out there. Don't do it. Accept your problems. Know who you are. But I kept saying it, Zach, this year. If not good, be different. You combine during this win streak right now, a monumental move in the front office into this, and an aggressive general manager. You already mentioned it. You have the confidence that if the cracks start showing, or if they continue to build on this, you have a GM that might properly acknowledge, I got to strike when the iron's hot. The trade deadline is far more fascinating this year than it has been in years past.
I mean, maybe ever as a Sabres fan.
Or should I properly say the weeks leading up to the trade deadline, because that's how it goes nowadays.
It's a lot of it, yeah.
I mean, Quinn Hughes got traded in December. But that's my big thing, is that there's a lot of opportunity here to continue to make some noise. Because after the Dallas game, you got Columbus, Vancouver, New York at home, who is a travesty at home.
The Rangers. I was going to bring this up. Yeah, their January schedule is also, again, it's not like the Sabres are a super team where we're like, oh, you should kill them. But it
toughens up after that. Anaheim, Florida, Philadelphia, Montreal.
But it's manageable games early to where you're like, okay, cool. We're not like at Colorado, you know, to start this whole thing, or really now like another Edmonton game where you got to play them again or anything like that, where you're just like, cool, we're going to run into a buzzsaw here. Just be thrilled with a point, or God forbid it's close. You know, they do have nicer games. And also too, you fixed up the road woes to a certain extent that I'm not sitting here seeing visitor in Buffalo and going, well, that's a loss.
You want to really show me the season's different? I'm going to circle the calendar date Monday, January 19th at 1:30 p.m. Can you win in Carolina?
Now you're asking for a lot.
I yelled out an incredibly wackadoo scream to start the show. Yes, I'm asking for a lot.
803-0550, again, the number to call. I want to jump on, give your thoughts. Sal Capaccio coming up in just about 5 or so minutes. Bills and Eagles this Sunday. The Bills did have a walkthrough practice, no injury report, but a bunch of guys we do know did not take part. But we'll go to the phones here first, and Jerry is up first this segment. Jerry, how are we doing this morning?
We're doing well. You know, one of the things about this team, in the earlier show it mentioned it, that we don't shoot the puck particularly well. Mm-hmm. And that comes maybe with the group being really young, and that it takes strength to have an NHL shot. And you can't be 20 years old and 180 pounds and 6'1". It's a maturity thing. You know, very few kids come out of the juniors or college and can shoot the puck like they need to shoot at this level. But with that said, I think that just says, well, you got to score more dirty goals. And this team makes one too many passes all the time. Last night, the Bowen goal was an anomaly in that, you know, it was a cute pass, one-timer across the rink. We rarely score on those. There were 6 or 7 times in last night's game. A couple times it was Bowen. A couple times it was Power. Where there's chances to shoot, Quinn does it too, and they don't. They try some backdoor cute thing that never works because the skill level isn't there. You know, that's what's been missing from this team, is we're not hard to play against. Our big players don't play big. The only people that play big are Krebs and Benson, who are tiny players. Our enforcer, we have this joke with friends of mine that Krebs is our enforcer. And that can't work that way. I think we need more dirty goals and, you know, Zucker-type goals and guys that are in that area. We don't have enough of those because we're way too cute sometimes.
I would 1,000% agree with that, Jerry. Thanks for the call.
That's where I like, because he brings up Zucker. It's why I also have loved Josh Doan since getting here.
And that was the other player I was going to mention.
That crashes the net, and it's just like, nope, this is where I hang out.
This is where we do this.
I'm going to tip pass the whole thing. I will also say, and like, this is something, and this is why I was mentioning the cracks in the foundation, what have you. They are incredible on the penalty kill and with the goaltending. They're, after last night, they're second in the league in terms of that percentage.
Yes.
Jerry, though, brings up the too cute, taking up chances, the whole thing. yeah, they're 16th in shooting percentage. You know, they're 16th in goals for. You know, they're not really getting a ton there. I'd say the guy that has the most elite shot on the team is probably Tage Thompson. I think this is where they are missing someone like a Yuri Kulik, who is developing that and developing as one of the premier goal scorers. You are missing that. And then, talk about missing, this is a team that does miss the net a ton and has for years.
Thompson and Tuck in particular do this. But Jerry brings up the youth, and I think that's a very good point here because, you know, I see it out of Peyton Krebs on a nightly basis where, like, he'll try to force a pass through two or three guys like he did so successfully in junior. And that was because he was just better than everybody else. Benson does like to look for the pass more than the shot now. He has turned into a facilitator. So, yeah, those guys are going to frustrate you. Dahlin will do it sometimes. Honestly, I would like him to shoot through the traffic on the power play. Like, find your lane and pick it. But that also doesn't mean that every time that he's holding onto it at the top of the formation in the power play, that doesn't mean that he's just trying to find the cutesy play. It might just be him looking for a shooting lane and it's just not
there. It's just not there.
So there might be a better play somewhere. Power. We'll see what happens here the rest of the season with Owen Power. But this is an opportunity, again. And it's a young team. Again. They're one of the youngest teams in the league. Again. They've also played a lot of games together now. Like, physically mature, I will agree with that one. I think Jerry brings up a great point there. But you've played enough hockey games in the National Hockey League to...
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Know what you got to do,
right? And we've
it's a mindset thing.
We've talked about
fix
this.
It.
Yeah, we've talked about this probably 2 years now, where it's like they're young in age, not really young and experienced anymore. 803-0550, the number to call. We mentioned it. Sal Capaccio coming up after this quick timeout. Bills kind of had a bit of a weird practice schedule this week. They had a walkthrough yesterday. I think they're practicing today as well. No media off Thursday, and then we're going to be back Friday. It's going to be weird when we're actually going to get an injury report, though. McDermott speaking with the media yesterday, we did get basically one, and a number of guys missed, including Josh Allen, though. Doesn't seem to be any worries there. Steve Brumell coming up at 11:30, talking Bandits. We're doing that weekly Bandits segment here as well. Bandits haven't played since. They're playing on the 28th, but they did have a special night last night as well, so we'll get more on that. And then primetime players as well coming up at 11 o'clock. A lot going on in the NHL, the NFL, and college basketball as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here on a wonderful, sunny Christmas Eve here in Buffalo, New York. You're listening to WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
Let's go Buffalo champ.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo. Let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna
shout.
Rolling along here on a Wednesday. It's a sunny Christmas Eve here in our Amherst studio. Some people don't love that, though. I know a lot of people are like, no, I need a white Christmas here. All right, it better start snowing in about 20 minutes.
I say be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I am not that person.
I'm the balancing act on that one. Like, I do appreciate the ambiance out. But also,
right.
Tomorrow's Christmas. It's Christmas Eve.
We got time.
We got time. We got plenty of time.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, are you someone that needs a white Christmas, or you're like, if it's warm, that's better?
No, I would prefer a white Christmas.
Okay.
It'd be nice, but
there's time.
It was chilly out today. Took the dog for a walk, and I mean, there's still some snow on the ground. We kind of, most of it's been melted. I would prefer a nice snow globe white Christmas whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy.
None of that pesky wind. I'm with you on that.
Pesky wind. Sal, the Bills did have, I'm going to put in quotes, a practice yesterday. It was a walkthrough. We weren't getting an injury update, but McDermott did give you guys, the media, a lot of names that weren't going to take part, one of which is Josh Allen. However, to kind of just, it doesn't seem to be any worries. It does sound like he's going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, from both McDermott and Josh Allen, it sounds like he's going to play. He's still dealing with the foot injury. He did not practice yesterday. It was only a walkthrough. McDermott said that Mitch Trubisky would get to work during the walkthrough. We spoke with Josh after. He spoke to the media, and, he didn't give any indication that he was at all in danger of not playing on Sunday. I think the question is what he's able to do or not able to do. Obviously, it's still, something when you have to get x-rays on a foot and, talk about swelling up and all that, something to monitor. So, we'll see if he runs it all, what they do, how they handle him on Sunday, but expect him fully to be out there, obviously.
Another guy that piqued my interest a little bit, Sal, is Dalton Kincaid. We're at that point now in the season, and with his season in particular, that he's going to be on the injury report. We're going to kind of be constantly monitoring that. McDermott did, though, mention that it's a bit of injury management after having a bit of a small setback. So, number one, how'd you feel about that? And then where are we at kind of with Kincaid at this point?
Yeah, but I think that when he said the setback part, it was more about over the last couple of weeks. It wasn't necessarily the last couple of days.
Okay.
And I say that because remember last week he kind of showed up on the injury report and didn't practice a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
Well, what happened? And I think that's what he's referring to. Now, sure, there could be something in the meantime, but he did play on Sunday. Obviously, there was no production there. They did throw it to him one time. He didn't get a lot of reps, a lot of snaps. McDermott, if you're in the room there, and I know that if you read the transcript, you kind of hear him. It sounds different. He basically was like, look, it's, and he was looking over to kind of at the PR director to kind of see how they were terming it and what the words they were using were. And he wanted to kind of make sure he got it right, which is injury management. He just say they're managing the injury right now. It's really nothing that's happening new for Dalton Kincaid. It's more of, hey, this has been a problem all year, something that they've been dealing with, and they're managing through this as best as possible.
Sal, when it comes to Philadelphia, this is going to be a team that, they've been very frustrating despite being the reigning Super Bowl champs. If you ask anybody in Philadelphia, apparently it's a season that they want to forget. But they do pose a lot of problems, in particular that defense, when it comes to how they're able to game plan and how stout they can be against the run.
Yeah, I think they've had some games there this year. They've been a little leaky, though, a little bit as of late. I'm going back and look at their rankings.
I do believe Jalen Carter's injury and surgery is going to be something of a factor there.
Yeah, for sure. I just think they've been really consistent on both sides of the ball, mm-hmm. especially on offense, though. But you're right. I mean, defensively, they have dudes, right? They have guys, and they can really, you know, put you in a position where you're fighting for everything you can get. Over the last few games, they've been much better against the run. They had a stretch there where they allowed, 6 yards a carry to Chicago. It's not too bad. 4.4 to the Chargers. Not bad. Last two games, though, 3.5 yards a carry against the Raiders, 3.5 yards a carry against the Commanders. Now, these aren't necessarily the best rushing teams in the league,
right?
But they've done a nice job. So I think it will be very tough on the Bills, obviously, to, you know, get the run game going like they have in a lot of other games. But this is what the Bills do. The Bills are the number one rushing team in the league, and they're going to lean into their run. And especially with Josh Allen being a little bit hobbled here, I do think that, you know, that's got to be their ticket to kind of attack Philadelphia. You know, other than the last couple weeks, now look at Philadelphia, the last couple weeks, they've looked much more like the Super Bowl champions that we know. In fact, they've scored 70 points. It's 70-18. They've outscored the Raiders and Commanders. But really, for the most part this year, especially since probably like week five, they haven't been putting up a ton of points. 19, 15, 21, 16, 10. They won a stretch of 5 games where their highest total was 21, and that was when they got that against Dallas and then blew the 21-point lead. So this is a team that we know has the capabilities, know they have the firepower, but it's also a team right now that has a lot of inconsistencies like the Bills do.
Yeah, and so Sal, you mentioned that too. One of my favorite comments from McDermott yesterday was he kind of just wanted to like push back on like any of the numbers, because we're talking about the Bills rushing attack, but the Eagles rushing attack this year, a little bit stunning. They're kind of middle of the pack in most rushing team rushing statistics. And yet McDermott yesterday was like, yeah, I know what the numbers say. Don't care. That's a really good running team, and we're going to have to focus on it. And that makes sense to me.
Of course. I mean, they have Saquon Barkley. We know how incredible he is, right? There's no doubt about that. But they're not running, you know, as efficiently as they have mm-hmm. the last couple of years. There's no doubt about that, especially last year, I should say. But that being said, still over 120 yards a game. A little bit lower on the yards per carry total, 4.2. But this is a team that can really, you know, bust out a big run at any point. They have a very strong, as we know, quarterback that in short yardage situations, he's very tough, tush push or otherwise. And we know that, you know, they've Saquon Barkley, who can, you know, take it to the house from anywhere on the field. So this is going to be a team that's going to probably look to run the ball against the Bills, knowing the Bills rushing, you know, defensive rushing struggles this year. I wouldn't be surprised if that is their game plan coming into this game, where they're going to say they're going to try to attack the Bills on the ground.
Yeah. Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Also, real quick on that defense as well. You know, we've given a lot of, and the media talking, the NFL, have talked a lot about the Eagles' offense and the inconsistencies. A.J. Brown, and is he upset? What's going on there? What have you. That defense, though, Sal, and you're right to mention they've been a little more leaky the last few weeks with Jalen Carter and such out. They've only given up 30-plus points once this year, and it's to a Giants team that, I mean, it's going to happen every now and then, but outside of that, since their bye in Week 9, they've had 3 games where they've given up 10 or less points, 7 against the Packers, 9 against the Lions, and then, of course, they shut out the Raiders. This is an incredible defensive unit.
Yeah, for sure, and the Bills are going to have their work cut out for them. So we'll see exactly what happens. I'm interested in how the Bills structure their lineup. You know, we saw a couple of healthy inactives last week at wide receiver, and Gabe Davis and Keon Coleman. Are those guys going to be up? Dalton Kincaid's injury and management situation, how they're going to do that. So this is going to be a tough challenge for the Bills. There's no doubt about that. And especially, again, given Josh Allen with his foot injury and how he progresses through the week is going to dictate a lot of that.
So, Sal, now looking to today, because we've mentioned it's a little bit of a weird sort of schedule with, of course, Christmas being tomorrow. Just real quick, what is the plan for today? Is there a practice going on? Is the media going to even be there if there is one?
Well, I don't know if the team is going to be out doing mm-hmm. anything, because they did yesterday, but we won't be there. There's no media availability.
Okay.
So nothing today. Again, tomorrow, no media availability. So really the only time we will get an injury update today, though, it is
okay.
Because the NFL, just how it works, everybody, it doesn't matter if they practice or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you play on Sunday, the team puts out an injury report on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I mean, that's just how it goes. If you play on Saturday, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It basically backs up to that many days. So we will get an injury report from the Bills today at some point today, an official one. Now, it'll probably be some sort of walkthrough, an estimation, or they didn't practice. Here's an estimation, something like that. Same thing tomorrow. We'll get an injury report. And then Friday, Sean McDermott will join me here on the Extra Point Show, and we'll get our final injury designations for the week. Josh Allen, of course, we're watching. I think Jordan Poyer's an interesting one to watch. He has mm-hmm. the hamstring injury. I mean, at his age, the fact that they're in the playoffs, I wouldn't be stunned at all if Jordan Poyer doesn't play this week. We'll see where the week goes with him. Daquan Jones is on this list. Joey Bosa didn't practice yesterday. So there's a lot of names to kind of watch out for here.
I'm glad you mentioned Poyer there, Sal, because with the safety depth chart being tested as often as it has been this year, who would be the next players up? I mean, Jordan Hancock has rotated in. Cam Lewis is a versatile player that they like sometimes to play at safety if it's needed there. Who would be the players you'd project to be up there at safety next to Cole Bishop if Poyer cannot go?
Judging by what happened last week when he went out of the game, it's probably Cam Lewis. But I certainly would keep the door open for Jordan Hancock to get run there. And even Darnell Savage, you know, if they want to put Darnell Savage back there and see what he has, he can offer, because, you know, he can be a guy that can play a little bit in the slot. He can be versatile. He's kind of like in that Cam Lewis, Jordan Hancock mold. So they kind of got a few of these guys they can do that with. So interested to see. They did re-sign MJ Devonshire to the practice squad yesterday. Now, he's a corner. So that tells me you're probably moving someone like Cam Lewis. He's more of a slot. So you move Cam Lewis then out of the slot to put him more at safety for the week. And then you have somebody to fill in for the practice squad reps and everything else you need at the corner spot and the slot corner spot. So we'll see where it goes with Jordan Poyer this week. But I wouldn't be surprised at any of those three. My guess, first inclination, would be Cam Lewis, because he's the one that went in for him last week.
All right, Sal, just a few more things here. I know we got something special, of course, that you do every year. We'll get to that here in a moment. But, of course, it is the holiday season, Christmas tomorrow. Any big plans, or is it going to be more of a kickback, relax, and try to watch what is going to be expected to be football games but may not be?
Yeah, for tomorrow, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. We have a Max wants to watch The Grinch tonight, so we'll hang out and watch The Grinch tonight before Santa makes his trip to the Capaccio household. We'll do that. We have a little family – doing our own little cooking here together, and I don't know what it's called. It's not fondue. We did fondue one year, but there's another thing, and there's a little some sort of cooking thing that we have in the house that we're going to be doing together. And I don't cook that much at all, really. So mm-hmm. I make like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So whenever time right we cook, it's kind of like it's a new thing to me, right, to get involved with that. But it's cool. So we'll do that tonight, and then headed over to my mom's house tomorrow, and yeah, we'll spend some time with family and watch some football. How about you guys?
I am just hanging out with some puppies, and maybe I might not watch those games. Those are not good games.
I haven't looked at the NBA schedule, so I might find my way there. But boy, the NFL games are rough.
I might not watch those games. I'm glad, because I feel like the lineup for the Netflix games and Amazon Prime, first of all, they're punching air. But second of all, it's a really good opportunity to reconnect with your family.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think that Netflix, is it Netflix where the Chiefs game is on? Don't you think they wish they could flex out of that at this point?
100%.
They're punching air, Sal.
Oh, you know? Man.
By the way, did you say puppies? This is our first. Yes. This will be Bernie's first Christmas with us.
Oh, there we go. Wonderful.
New
there
dog
we go.
Bernie.
Well, now I need pictures, Sal.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be Bernie's first Christmas. He's a Great Pyrenees Mountain Dog. He's huge. We love him. He's only he's less than a year old. It's his first Christmas.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, the very big nice. Boys. The big boys that are always the lap dogs, right, Sal?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, my gosh. Yeah, gentle giant for sure.
And then, yeah, for me, it's we're going over to my cousin's house. A little bit of driving in the morning, but then we're just hanging out and we're all going to.
All three new dogs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And love
this,
it.
Yeah, this
you've
is
got
my,
our, you've got Armani.
My dad's dog, Armani. Yeah. It's his first Christmas. We got him.
I've got Oliver.
2 weeks ago, about? Yep. Yeah.
I've got Oliver, and then Sal's got.
Look at that.
Look at that.
At least it's not yet their first 4th of July's. We got some time there.
Yeah, we got a brace for that.
But Sal, I know, of course, you do something special every year. Twas the night before Buffalo Sports Christmas. So we'll give you the floor here before we let you go.
You got it, guys. All right, thank you. Here we go. I don't know. Does Dan know? Is Dan going to play a little music? Got to put a little music underneath there. There it is. Christmas music. There we go. Thank you, Dan. All right. 'Twas the night before Christmas throughout all of Buffalo, waking up to our Sabres winning 7 in a row. The year started out like a couple others before, a title game in KC, but the wrong end of the final score. It took 2 wins at home for the Bills to get that far, so they dominated Bo Nix, then turned over Lamar. Out in Arrowhead, they certainly had their shot, and things might have been different if not for that 4th down spot. Josh Allen finally got his hardware, forever joining the MVP winners. Then he tied the knot with that famous actress from Sinners. They drafted Max Hairston. That kid can really scoot. Then paid Cook, Shakir, Bernard, Benford, and Groot. After the draft, all the wide receiver talk was still there. So the GM brought the heat when he joined Jeremy and Joe on air. A new season brought new faces, but some old familiar sights, like Gabe Davis, Big Phil, Jordan Poyer, and Trey White. Sunday Night Football kicked off the final year at Highmark. New memories soon to be built across the street in Orchard Park. Downtown is where the Sabres play, and they wanted to set a new tone. They traded away JJ and got back Kesselring and Doan. The team started their second season under head coach Lindy Ruff, but another slow start meant breaking the drought would be tough. Midway through December, and not a lot was shining, so Kevin Adams was fired and replaced by Kekalainen. They had a lot of injuries early and were playing a bunch of subs, but then they got hot and started stacking the dubs. Jarmo made quick changes, hiring hockey vets to his staff, giving some real hope they'll no longer be a laugh. Now it's exciting to wonder what 2026 may hold. Will we finally see playoff hockey for the boys in blue and gold? The Sabres roommates at KeyBank keep winning the whole darn thing. Our Bandits did it again, winning their third straight ring. There was another champion in Buffalo for the entire country to see. The UB women's hoops team took home the NIT. Now George Halkovich's men are off to a blazing hot start. There's a resurgence of local college hoops, and they're playing a big part. Down at Bonna, they're just so consistent under head coach Mark Schmidt. He dove into the portal and found guys who just fit. Now those coaches are showing what their programs can do. Not even the new year, and both are 11-2. In October, we saw a World Series just a bit to the north. The Blue Jays won three games, but couldn't get the fourth. Now we start the cycle over and get ready for another year. 12 months from now, there will be plenty new to cheer. But don't look too far ahead. There's really no reason, because the Bills are in the playoffs for a seventh straight season. Three wins on the road would be quite the playoff hat trick. This could be the year with no Joe Burrow, Lamar, or Patrick. So buckle up, fans. We may be in for quite the ride. The next few weeks is when the Bills hit their stride. A new year is on deck, with more champions to be made. 2026, the year of the Buffalo Parade. Happy holidays.
Beautifully done, Sal.
Well done, Sal. I kind of want that to be plural. That'd be fun. The first one's the trial run.
Sal, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it. You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sal. Happy holidays, man. Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline, and hey, it's good to have that back, the night before Buffalo Christmas, because I heard Sal earlier with Joe, and he said he didn't do it last year because things were just going on, mm-hmm. a little too much going on.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you, because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You know, good to have it back. We're all back. Vibes are up, baby.
I do love it just because it's always a reminder. Like, immediately when you started back at the playoffs, I was like, all right, yeah. Like, I forgot. Yep, like, this is going to be. I love it. I love it every
year. It is the harsh reminder that, yeah, it never has started very easily with the new years, because that's typically when the Bills are painfully removed from postseasons.
803-0550, the number to call. We got to get a quick timeout here. We've got primetime players coming up at 11:30 as well. We'll get some Bandits talking. Steve Bermel will join us then. Until then, though, you can jump in, give your thoughts on the Sabre 7-game win streak, the Bills playing the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, looking to help out their playoff seeding any way they can. The Eagles, though, can't do too much on Sunday. We'll hit a quick timeout. We'll be right back. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a very sunny Christmas Eve here in our Amherst studios. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you're not working either. Like, hope you have, like,
yeah, hope
Christmas
you're not doing
Eve
what we're doing.
Christmas off. That'd be really nice.
That'd be really nice. You know what else is nice? A chance to take your game day to the next level when you enter online at WGR550.com to have a chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Every Friday, a winner will be announced during Football Friday with Chopin Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. There's still a couple games left.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you get that done as well. Zach, we mentioned a bit of a quieter Christmas plans, you know, when we're just on with Sal.
The best.
I'm probably skipping some of these games because they're just not worth watching.
I meant to look at the NBA schedule.
You know, I'm going to watch the best Christmas movie that there is. Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, we can't call that a Christmas movie.
It's on Hoth. There's snow. Clearly it's Christmas.
I'll get there with the Star Wars Holiday Special, which was like axed from the universe for like 30 years there. I'll get there with that. No, not on Empire Strikes
Back. Clearly, it starts out at Hoth where they're on a snow planet. Duh. I'm obviously messing with everybody here.
I've been debating. So for those that also take part, Stranger Things, part two of the last season comes out tomorrow. I'm not like the biggest Stranger Things fan, but I'm there for like the cultural moment.
It's weird that I'm not into it because there's a lot of D&D references within that show, and it makes it within pop culture, and yet I don't really care for it.
Yeah, I think it's a good show. I think it's well outlasted. It's welcome here.
Right.
But I'm here for the cultural moment. My girlfriend's a big fan of it, and we're spending Christmas Eve together. I think she wants to watch it today. I think, but the only problem is it doesn't come out until like midnight on Christmas, or even, I think, maybe even 3 a.m. Eastern.
Take your nap.
So, well, no. This is where I'm pushing National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It is my favorite Christmas movie. I'm not the biggest comedy person. I laugh every time I watch that movie. Doesn't matter. It's either that or one of the Santa Claus movies. I mentioned that yesterday. Those are like the two I go to every time. I'm gonna try to push that. We're gonna have to start early. I think just sending message be like, hey, by the way. Don't think it comes out till 3 in the morning. So what should we do instead?
Being with my family for Christmas, though, I can guarantee you right now, I'm not going to have any say on what is on the television.
Just
because my mother is a huge Christmas person.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be Christmas movies on instead and probably allowing me the chance to be like, oh, no, shucks. I can't watch the bad football games.
No.
Oh, man.
It's going to be Christmas Story, Godfather. What else? The Harry Potter movies. Those are going to be on all day tomorrow. 803-0550, the number to call. We've got primetime players coming up. We've also got some Bandits talk as well in hour number two. We'll get to all that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers can indicate certain things, but they, you know, not always tell the full story. And we know who Saquon is. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. Their offensive line, very talented as well, done a great job, you know, with the coaching that goes along there with Coach Stoutland. And then the offense overall, extremely talented on the perimeter. So it's a tough unit to stop. The run game in particular is real. I know the numbers say, and I'm not buying the numbers.
That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott from yesterday. That's the quote I brought up to Sal, where I was like, oh, he'd like really bit back at the number, not even the number crowd, just be like, I don't care. They're still really good.
And they're still good, and we need to treat it like such.
And the Eagles might be just one of those, I'd probably say handful teams, of five maybe, where you're like, I literally don't care what the numbers say. They scare me.
I don't believe you.
I'm going to stay up late preparing for them. The Eagles are one of them. I think the Bills have probably entered that category. The Chiefs did literally until they missed the playoffs. I mean, I was having back and forth with people when they were on the outs going, no, if they make it to the class, I'm like, are we sure? There's only a few of those teams that they defy math in a sense. We're like, I don't care. On their day, they could kill you. And the Eagles are, of course, one of those teams.
I think that's a lot of Bills fans with Baltimore. They're not dead to me until they're dead.
Certainly to me, yeah.
And I'm not there at all. I'm like, okay, no, they clearly keep telling us these same things over and over again. But
yeah, I like that I was there with the Chiefs and you're there with Baltimore. We couldn't both agree on it, but we're both like, no, there's one team that lives in my nightmares.
Oh, yeah, no. Hang on. The Chiefs don't live in my nightmares. Let's take a step back there, Zach. I was the sicko that said I wanted the Bills to put them down.
Oh,
this year.
That's right. You were saying, actually, I want to be the one that puts the dagger through them.
Houston is what is currently in my nightmares.
Yes.
Along with probably everybody else around here.
If it's in Houston.
If it's in Houston.
I've come around to that. If it's in Houston, I'm not having a good time. If it's in Buffalo, I feel much better.
And I'm the guy that always says the past does not guarantee the future. That said, if they can avoid Houston, I would very much like that, please.
That'd be nice.
The city, not the team. If they have to play, if Houston has to come here in the playoffs, fine. But if the Bills can avoid going to Houston, that would be great. Lovely. Thank you, Jacksonville, for your service currently.
They're playing really, really well. Speaking of playing really well and past, present, and future, it's time now for our weekly Prime Time Performers, which is, of course, sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. And Derek, we've had some weeks here where it's a little bit where you're like, cool, no one did anything cool. We've also had weeks where there's historic performances and you kind of just know who's going to be number one.
The entire World Series and the postseason in the MLB this year.
This week, though, I think it's a pretty good mix of not necessarily crazy historical performances, but just really damn good.
There's a lot of board. There's a lot of fun in a lot of sports. And I still didn't go to the basketball courts, mostly because there is so much going on.
There's a lot going on. It's also the NBA regular season, which is painful. With that being said, though, starting with some honorable mentions, I did not go to the NBA courts. I went to the college courts.
And that's mainly, where you are.
It's been tough with college basketball.
That's where you live, though.
It's where I live, but it's tough because you're in the non-conference run right now. It's starting to wrap up. Like, UB just wrapped theirs up earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I think Bonaventure did as well. There's also a bit of a mix of like, oh, we've also played a conference game, but we have like two more. Whatever. We're starting to wrap that up. With that being said, it has been a lot of big teams just bullying the little teams. That is true here. However, AJ DeBonsa, the forward for BYU, the number one ranked player coming into this year, a 33-point triple-double in college in the win over Eastern Washington. He also had a 35-point performance the game before that as well. He's been on a tear. He's one of the best players in college. It's going to be either the first or second overall pick in this year's NBA draft. Just waiting to get the conference play to really start like leaning into this stuff. But BYU, one of the better teams in college basketball. AJ DeBonsa, my first honorable mention.
All right, first honorable mention for me is going to be a player that was on this list last week.
Mm-hmm.
John Gibson, goaltender for the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
Part of why the Sabres have not been able to vault more teams, by the way, Detroit keeps staying the course as the top spot in the Atlantic. Last week I had mentioned he had won his last six starts. That number has grown to eight.
Well, we were talking about one of the teams that Sabres got to play, and it's, you know, it may not mean that much because it's Dallas. Detroit got a win over Dallas yesterday.
Right.
And Gibson's been a big part of that for them. So, yeah, he was a name brought up for a few years as a goalie the Sabres might want to go get. They don't. Detroit does, and they're reaping the benefits there. He has been very, very good for them.
Sabres have won both of the meetings against Detroit this year.
Yes.
And do not play them again until March 27th.
So, frustrating.
So this player, you don't have to worry about him directly for a while.
Mm-hmm. Number two honorable mention for me, Chris Olave, Saints wide receiver.
I thought about putting him on here.
Yeah, 10 for 148 and two touchdowns. I also do want to make mention, of course, the team it's against. It is them beating up the Jets 29-6. With that being said, though.
Saints.
I know. Exactly. It's the Saints. Yeah. They're not going to have many of those wins.
Yeah, Tyler Shuck throwing you the football. Like, he's been playing better.
I was going to say, Shuck might be something.
But it's not like it's your usual suspects.
Right. But Chris Olave, he's one of my favorite players to watch. I just I'm petrified to watch him because of his concussion history.
Right.
So whenever he has a big game, my heart grows three times the size because I'm just like, yes, like there we go. And of course he's always gonna be a player. As long as the Saints are bad and the Bills need a receiver, he's always gonna be in the back of my mind. So Chris Olave, 10 for 148 and two touchdowns, my second honorable mention.
This is a hilarious stat line to be an honorable mention. I'm gonna say this right now and lead it out. Matthew Stafford had 457 yards and three touchdowns, and he's an honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what the week was. I will leave it at that.
I think he's just still gonna win the MVP.
I think he's gonna win the MVP, which is why I put him on the honorable mentions. But like, think about it. That stat line did not make it into my top five.
That'll win the game.
It's not even about winning the game for me. It is. There are some.
Yeah, there's other ones.
There's some goofy numbers and goofy performances in when I say goofy, I mean just like outlandish. Like, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
To where this has to be an honorable mention.
Yeah. Last honorable mention for me, Bo Byram. You know, primetime performers. He's a player that is very polarizing for Sabres fans. Not like Owen Power is, but he is one of them, and he's always kind of a trade target, I think, for a lot of Sabres fans and kind of want to see him shipped out. And yet, he was a part of every goal last night, including scoring the winner, two goals last night and 3 points against Ottawa. Good for Bo Byram, last honorable mention
there for me. The Bo Byram game. My last honorable mention is going to go to the college football playoff. The University of Miami defense for having Texas A&M score as many touchdowns in the CFP as you and me. Zero.
That's fair.
They allowed 3 points, dominating defensive performance by the U, and helps them move on to the next round. So now,
it's such a shame. Both A&M and Oklahoma lost to Texas both this year and then lost at home in the college football playoff. That sucks. Hook them.
The Longhorns should have been in.
Don't lose to Florida. Like, I'm a diehard. Don't lose to Florida. However, them and Notre Dame
fans are
show
punching
wins.
Air.
Yeah,
as they always are.
Ugh, it is what it is.
All right.
Yeah, that was a great defensive performance. Boring game.
Boring game.
Wonderful defensive.
But you sometimes have to acknowledge the beauty in the boring.
Yeah. All right. On to the top five right away for me. Number five. I debated where to put him because I knew I wanted to because of the team they had beaten and the performances he has had, but Trevor Lawrence for Jacksonville. He might be, I mean, we both agree that we think Stafford's going to win the MVP. Though to end the year, I don't know if anyone's playing the position better. He's, I think, got 10 total touchdowns in the last two games, a 14-point win at Denver. And I think it has forced a lot of people to not look at the logo, I guess, right now for the Jaguars and more just be like, okay, how are they playing? Okay, they look legit. I would still take the matchup in the wild card round at Jacksonville, and you know I wouldn't lose my mind. I wouldn't be like, this is the worst case scenario.
If you need to throw out the hottest team in the league, that's not you, then do it.
Then do it. And I mainly say that partially because it's not like it's going to Kansas City or Baltimore where it's an aggressive crowd, right? Jacksonville does not have that to them. And also, they're very much untested. They're unproven in the playoffs.
Right.
However, to that point, Trevor Lawrence at five has been playing incredible. Four total touchdowns at Denver and a 14-point win. Just He's been playing great.
I might be severely punishing this player for the fact that his team did not win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Puka Nacua is number five.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's higher on your list, so we will divulge further about Nacua, but 12 catches, 225 yards, and two touchdowns. That's why Stafford's an honorable mention, because half of his yards go to one player.
Yeah, that's why he's not even on my list at all. So I'm like, I know who did the work.
But still.
He had a bad week leading up to the game and awful, a bad after the game, but I don't care. He's an incredible player.
Between the stripes, he managed to get it done. Puka Nacua, we'll talk more on him a little bit here on his performance, but yeah, he is my number five.
Number four for me, to the Sabres, Alex Lyon. 6-0 mm-hmm. in this seven-game win streak. 9.2 save percentage in that time. He's been absolutely incredible. I mentioned it, really the Sabres' key stat that you can look at and go, okay, this is why they're probably pretty good. After last night, they're second in penalty kill percentage. They were first for most of this season, and Lyon's been a big part of that. I know there was rumblings or like thoughts from some of the insiders around the NHL that Lyon might be the odd guy out.
But that turned out it was speculation, admittedly right. So by Friedman. You can't trade that player.
No, Lyon's been incredible for them, and we mentioned it too. They're not scoring like the wind. These are close games with big saves having to be made. Lyon has been the lion's share of that. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen only gets one game, albeit a great one, in these seven.
Lyon has been very interesting, especially because of the fact that I mentioned how John Gibson has won his last six start or his last eight starts.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Lyon's starting to tag it up the same way.
Right.
Six in a row that he has started and they have won. It's easy also when you're on a seven-game win streak and you start six of those games, but hey, I can't argue those stats. I have something to admit to you as I round up number four here. I don't have a single Sabres player on here.
After your tweet this morning? Wow.
But we'll talk more about that.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Number four, you have Trevor Lawrence on here. I'm going with Parker Washington. Incredible performance from one of the lesser-known receivers on the Jaguars. Six catches, 145 yards, and a touchdown. Very impressive day against a stout, typically stout Broncos defense that they embarrassed, and Washington led the way there for Jacksonville's receiving core. With how well Jakobi Meyers has played, the presence that he's brought to them, it's helped Parker Washington as well. So I'm interested to see what they do going forward. Let's see what they've got. But again, Parker Washington there, number four.
Number three for me, this is probably because I was watching the entire game and every snap of it, and it is the team I cover, but Greg Rousseau. Mm-hmm. 2.5 sacks, 9 pressures in the win at Cleveland. I also think, too, having rewatched that game, he is making crucial plays. It's not even just the sack. He could have had 4 that game.
Right.
And when the Bills needed, and this has been true of the defense a number of times this year, it has really not been the unit itself that has popped off. It has been very specific players that have had moments where the unit itself doesn't look great, but when they need a play, this player does something. Rousseau was that against Cleveland. Benford had his run for 2 weeks. Michael Hoyt had his run for 7 quarters. Ed Oliver's had his run. Joey Bosa's had his run. Their issue has been it has not been the entire unit, in part because they haven't been healthy.
Right.
But Greg Rousseau has been very good in the run defense this year. I know PFF loves his run defense. Has been less so as a pass rusher. It has been the constant frustration with him. This week against Cleveland, though, that cannot be said. 2.5 sacks, 9 pressures on Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel as well.
I do have to help you out with something. I'm flip-flopping my 2 and my 3. Number 3 is going to be Brock Purdy.
Okay.
San Francisco 49ers quarterback. 295 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, and a dominant win against Indianapolis, where Phillip Rivers plays pretty well, actually. But the 49ers officially help Buffalo into the playoff room. Clinch a berth of their own as well on Monday Night Football. But, yeah, no, he was throwing strikes constantly in that game. McCaffrey, Kittle, and it seemed like he was feeding the two of them for most of the night.
It's weird. I wanted to throw Purdy on here, and I couldn't because I was like, I was more interested in watching Rivers. Like, I didn't even really care about Purdy's performance. That's not fair of Purdy. I'm just being honest
but
there.
But Purdy did go ahead and took the attention with his play and said, hey, look at me.
Yeah, no, he was very good.
Very good against, again, a typically good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Brock Purdy there at number 3. But this allows number 2, Zach, to be pretty easy for us.
Connor McDavid. Man.
Zach, I did some quick maths. Connor McDavid leads the NHL with 67 points. In the last 11 games, Connor McDavid has 31 points.
Yeah.
So, Connor McDavid, in his last 11 games, has 46% of his point production this season.
He is completely woken up. Edmonton itself has sort of woken up.
It's hilarious how great he is playing right now. And he had 5 assists last night, ho-hum, casually.
I was going to say, yeah, if you just want to look at one game, you could just go to the 5 assists against Calgary in a 5-1 win.
But more importantly, Edmonton has willed has willed Edmonton back into a playoff spot in the Pacific. When the Sabres beat them out west, we were starting to really wonder, oh boy, is time running out on the McDavid era in Edmonton, because they don't look good. They traded away Stuart Skinner for older Stuart Skinner.
Yes.
And nobody's reaping the benefits of that trade right now, by the way.
No.
But McDavid is allowing them to be in this, because not only does he have 31 points in the last 11 games, still ungodly work, they're 8-3 in that stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like it's empty calories where it's like, oh, he's putting up these points, and they're 2-9.
Right.
Like, no, he is willing them to win. Him and Draisaitl, of course. I never want to forget about Draisaitl in this. It's just McDavid is the best player of his generation. And if he just wins one cup, I think it's sort of the same with Josh Allen and even Lamar Jackson.
You got to win one. You can't.
I was listening to John Middlecoff, he's on the Colin Cowherd podcast network, and I love his podcast. I listen to those two all the time, but Middlecoff even mentioned about Allen, like, he gets one Super Bowl, like, it solidifies his entire career. Like, everything is just the cherry on top. It's the extra gravy, what have you.
All the gaudy stats get immortalized with a ring.
Because he mentions Rodgers only makes and wins one. It doesn't matter. Most of us acknowledge it doesn't really matter if you don't like the person. His prime is maybe the most physically gifted quarterback ever.
It's the production, and you then get to coat that production in gold.
Right. It's why guys like Marino are not always forgotten, but as we get further and further away from his playing career, he is. That is true.
It's just a tragic figure.
It's going to be just factually correct. You know, I read Seth Wickersham's quarterback book earlier this year, later this year, it was around October. But that was that whole point. It's like, when you don't win, it doesn't really matter how great you were in your era. 20, 30 years from now, the kids don't remember you. They just don't.
All right. So that's number two, Connor McDavid. Zach, wrap it up with a player that was already mentioned by me, and then I'll bring it home.
So the reason why I'm going with this guy at number one, he scored to end the game, at the end of the game, in overtime, and never got the ball back. He doesn't play defense. He can't change that fact.
Right.
Puka Nacua, 12 for 225 and 2 touchdowns, including that touchdown in overtime. He can't play defense. He did everything he was supposed to. He was like half of Matthew Stafford's production.
Actually.
There's nothing else he could have done. Again, had an awful week off the field. Let's not go on certain podcasts or just do certain things. Let's just not. I thought before this week that he
listen
was like,
to your agent.
I honestly, before this week, I thought Puka Nacua was like this like super unassuming guy that was quiet. I've learned that is horribly wrong. But as a player, he's probably top three of my favorite to watch. And he is like the player on the Rams that just scares me the most. Stafford, of course. And they've got some defensive players. But boy, if that is like a matchup in the Super Bowl, for 2 weeks, I'll be having nightmares about that, man.
Dan, I need a favor for number one here. A different song. I need a Sabres dance, because I don't have a single Sabres player. It's the Buffalo Sabres at number one for primetime players. 7 in a row. Hottest team in the league. The primetime players' number one spot is your Buffalo Sabres. Can't stop, won't stop. There it is.
A wonderful, wonderful run.
To make up for my crimes of not having a single Sabres player on this list, I have the entire team because, hey, first of all, 7 in a row, you are the hottest team in the league right now. Actually, how Alex Lyon's getting it done. Winning his 6th straight start last night. He's playing really well. They're playing some good defensive hockey in order to help close a lot of these games. It is impressive to see what they are able to do right now. And it does allow for an interesting conversation down the road if we're able to have it. Yes, I know vague terms here, but about Kevin Adams' vision.
Right.
And we'll revisit that if we have to. Right now, the Sabres are going to make that an interesting conundrum for the rest of the year if they keep playing like this. This 7-game win streak, yes, they have not faulted many teams. That's the damage that this team did to themselves. However, it does allow you an opportunity to keep pace with the rest of the league now, to where if you don't string a couple losses together, You're in the mix for the entire year. And how did we feel in 2022-23? Everyone was ecstatic, and they ultimately do not make it. But it is the memorable season of the entire drought.
Yeah.
Outside of the tank, this is the one that people will go to and go, I had a lot of fun watching that team.
Mm-hmm.
Do that this year, and it will help you in the future. That's going to wrap up our primetime players. It's, again, sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. We're going to have the primetime players tweeted out on Twitter as well. Zach's already got the thumbs up. He already did it. But
no, not yet. I still got to do it.
Oh, okay.
It's
going to
happen.
Okay. I thought you already had it done. You're just like, I'm waiting for you to say it so that I say I hit send. But to recap it for me, I've got Puka Nacua, Parker Washington, Brock Purdy, Connor McDavid, and the entirety of the Buffalo Sabres for me there from 5-1. And Zach's too busy typing now. I put him in a bad spot.
Puka Nacua, baby.
Puka Nacua at number one for Zach Jones. You'll see the list out there on Twitter as well. But we'll take a timeout. And when we come back, we get ourselves another check on the Buffalo Bandits. We'll talk with color commentator Steve Bermel on the other side here on the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. I hope you're having a lovely Christmas Eve out there. And thanks for listening with us.
Smith now in over the restraining line from the left wing side. Gets a nice pick by Kyle Buchanan. There's a dive!
Welcome back into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, hanging out with you here. We're getting some free
our boss brought
Christmas
us gifts.
Swag. Yes.
Let's go.
And we put him in the bad spot of scooting out of here in silence in return. I'm such a professional.
I got a free hat. I'm cool. My Christmas is made. I'm good.
And I had to make him scurry out of here quietly. I'm good at this.
I'm going to have to start moving hats now. I just realized I have too many. That's fine. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
There
you go. It's a future Zach problem.
Sure, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see if it actually happens.
Let future Zach worry about this. But joining us on the Western Hotline is Bandits color commentator Steve Bermel as we get ourselves ready for another Bandits update. It's brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment, three great locations in Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game. Steve, do you have too many hats?
No, I downsized recently. I realized that I was kind of wearing the same three or four. I am not a person who stays super attached to things. It's actually very easy for me to throw things away.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm actually so good at throwing them away. There's times my wife's like, we should donate. I'm like, nope, I'm just getting rid of them. Because if I put it in a bag to donate, it's going to sit for 2 weeks. It's not going to get taken to the thrift store. Nope, I am so good at parting with things. So I have like a Bills hat, a Bandits hat, and a Sabres hat, and that's pretty much it right now.
Oh, there you go. You got the solid rotation, the 1-2-3. Yep. Speaking of one of those teams, Steve, you alluded to me that there was a pretty big night for the Bandits last night. They haven't played for a little bit here, and they will play their next game in a couple days. But that didn't mean that there was nothing going on in Bandit land.
Yeah, last Friday, one of the players' families owns a winery in St. Catharines, and each time that they've won the championship, we've won the championship, they've hosted a nice dinner for us and a celebration ceremony for the championship rings. And crazy to say that I have a third one in my collection now. I feel like I do absolutely nothing to earn a ring, but they are such a top-tier organization that the support staff and broadcasters, they consider us part of the organization just the same. And three championship rings in my collection, which is just, I can't even say the words because it's insane. They're gorgeous. If you haven't seen them on social media, you know, they've outdone themselves each year. The first year was this beautiful obsidian ring with like all these stones on the plate for all the staff. Last year's opened up similar to like the Chiefs with this arena inside and the banners on the other side. This one, the entire face slides off and turns into a pendant, and they gave us a chain. So all the players were wearing the rings on their fingers, and their spouses had the pendants around their necks as a necklace. They are super duper amazing like pieces. They have actual confetti from the championship inside the ring on top of the banner. You know, they put our names on them. There's all these inscriptions, and every stone has a meaning. It's incredible. So we had a great meal, some awesome prime ribs, some roasted chicken, some great sides, and they're known for their desserts, butter tarts. I mean, who would have known that butter tarts are famous for, but this winery is kind of, they call themselves Canada's best butter tarts. So yeah, we had a party bus up there from the arena to St. Catharines and a party bus back. I'll let you guys fill in the blanks on how the night went, but we had a great time on Friday.
I'm just picturing Shorzy now. There we go. So, Steve, though, when it comes to it, the Bandits, not off to the usual hottest of starts. You know, they're 1-1. They have themselves a win and a loss on the resume here so far this year. The loss was in overtime, so it was a tight contest, but they get themselves back into it on, I do believe, the 28th, that is, Sunday against Calgary.
Yeah, so the first game against Georgia, it was close at halftime, but then it kind of felt like the better team, you know, found a way. The better team rose to the top, and they ended up beating Georgia by a few goals in a game that didn't end up being that close. Then Halifax, their last game 2 weeks ago, and the other part of it is everybody's so disappointed at the disjointed start. The guys don't like it. The coaches don't like it. You play a game, you have a bye week. You play a game, you have a bye week. They feel like they have no rhythm. But the second game, they played a goaltender that in his first game gave up 2 goals, which ties the record for the fewest goals given up in a game. And in the first half, they had some success. They put up 5 goals in the first quarter, I want to say, and then 7 by halftime. And then they end up having to tie the game late in the fourth because they go a long stretch of time without scoring. And it's full credit to Halifax's goaltender, Warren Hill, who has been known to be a very up-and-down goaltender, maybe with more downs than ups. Like, he was benched in the playoffs last year for the backup because of his inconsistencies. But he is off to the hottest start in the league, arguably, as a goaltender. So the Bandits will tell you that they wish they had more success on the power play, although they went over 50%. They'll also tell you that they want to score at least 10 goals every game, and they didn't do. But I think they also would admit that they might have gotten goalied a little bit. You know, he played real hot for them, especially in the second half. And, you know, Halifax was able to score a few late and ultimately potted one 20 seconds into overtime. The Bandits didn't even get possession of the ball. But Halifax is a good team. It's a tight league. And now they do have a chance to get back on track against I'll just say maybe a struggling Calgary team. They're rebuilding a little bit. So Sunday afternoon out in Calgary, they should have a chance to get back in the win column because they definitely won't want to be 1-2 to start the season.
I'm glad you mentioned it because I was just going to ask about Calgary, how their season has been going. They're 0-2 on the year so far. They have been playing it pretty tight. Their goal differential is only a -4 with the 2 losses there. But it does seem like it's an opportunity that you can try to right the ship. What's Calgary looking like? What the strengths and weaknesses looking like there with the Roughnecks?
Yeah, they've got a young, fast team, but that's what you usually say about a team that's rebuilding, right? They have a couple guys that they can build around, but some of their top dogs, one retired and one went to play in Vancouver, so they lost 2 of their top scorers on the team on either side. But the biggest thing is goaltending, right? Their star goaltender 2 years ago holds out, and Christian Dalbianco gets traded to Vancouver, and he'll be playing there with his former coach for a while. And then last year, Calgary, to make a run, traded for Nick Rose, which Bandits fans will know very well, the story Toronto Rock goaltender, their franchise goalie. They traded him away at the deadline to Calgary, and he came to Buffalo and got a win over Buffalo, which he exercised some demons because he struggled to do that. But then in free agency, Nick Rose, as a 30-something-year-old free agent, can refuse a franchise tag, unrestricted, can sign where he wants, and goes right back home to Toronto. So Calgary, you know, you never want to have a question in goal, and it feels like that's kind of where they are. You know, they've got some young goaltenders trying to pull the rope, but when you lose Christian Dalbianco and Nick Rose, respectively, in back-to-back years, it's going to be tough to have success in a league that's as tight and as potent offensively as the National Lacrosse League is.
It is also going to be nice, too, to just get a run of games here in somewhat of a normal fashion here, Steve. I mean, you already mentioned that the players don't like it, and that they have this bye week, this really extended break, just as the season got started. But you play the 28th, you play the 3rd, and then you play the 10th. The only problem is the only game that's going to be at home is the game against Las Vegas, which should be a great night as well with some of the players from last year's team heading out west.
Yeah, so Vegas comes back with Chase Fraser and Chris Kluche on their squad, both signed as free agents. With the new CBA, you know, the Bandits maybe had to, they were going to potentially going to lose some players. And those two guys who were a great offensive part on the left side, Chris Kluche, and on the right side, Chase Fraser, they signed in Vegas. Vegas struggled their opening game a little bit, but it'll be fun to have kind of that instant rivalry with them kind of signing two big names from Buffalo when they come into town. But, you know, being on the road might not be the worst thing for this team. They split their first 2 games, you know, at home, being 1-1 at home. So I think mostly they're just going to be happy to get in a groove and to be playing, you know, multiple weekends in a row to kind of try to feel. They did mention after the game, Halifax, that they the offense takes some time to gel. And as much as they have Dane and Josh and Buchanan and a lot of the same faces, they've got a couple of guys, you know, Ryan Benesch, brand new on the left side, Mitch just new on defense, that they need to have a little bit of time maybe to gel, and some of the guys taking on a little bit different role with the departure of Frazier and Kluche. So I do think that having a run of games here will benefit them. And also, you know, them being one-on-one, I don't think anybody here is nervous or panicked, especially because, you know, they lost a close game. They didn't get blown out at home. They didn't look lost. They didn't look like they didn't belong out on the floor. You know, they're still a great team, even losing Frazier and Kluche, and I do think that they'll right the ship over these next couple games. Also worth noting that the next home game, January 3rd, is the annual Tucker Out Lymphoma Night, so it will be raising awareness and money for pediatric cancer research with Sean Williams and the Las Vegas Desert Dogs in town. Sean Williams, the head coach and general manager, lost his son to lymphoma at age 8, and that is Tucker. So in his honor, Tucker Out Lymphoma Night will be January 3rd, always a great night in Bantamland to raise money and awareness for pediatric cancer, but also to celebrate the life of Tucker Williams and his family.
Thank you for bringing that one up, Steve, because it is always a monumental night, Tucker Out Cancer, and making sure that is out there, the message is out there. Steve, before you go, I've got to just go ahead and say it because I've been saber-pilled all day. Saber's on a warpath?
Woo! It's so exciting because, like, there's so much cool stuff happening, but isn't it palpable? Like, I was listening to the morning show too. Like, there's an energy that you can feel in the cockles of your heart. Like, you can feel something stirring, and I think that it's not just unique to the fans. It's the team, the organization, the fan base in the city. Like, there's something brewing, and you can feel it in the cavity of your chest. And even as silly as it was, that goal gets scored yesterday in overtime, and whatever player it was that hits like six straight Ric Flair woos one right after the other, like, they're feeling it and the team is feeling it, and it's contagious, and that's going to feed into each other. The building on Saturday is going to be electric. Lindy Ruff is certainly feeling it too, given the fist bumps in the hallway after. Even the energy on social media has changed. Like, man, the clouds have cleared and the sun comes through, and now we all hope and pray that this continues and is sustainable, because we don't want to have our hearts ripped out again. But, man, is there ever a palpable energy, something that you can feel in your soul with this team, the players, the organization, the city, and the fans?
Steve is among us that we're ready to get hurt again. Steve, let the people know where to find your work, and thanks for joining us here. We'll be sure to do this pretty quickly on the turnaround.
Sounds good. At Steve Bermel on Twitter and Instagram. You can always find our games on the WGR network of stations, whether it's 9:30, 15:20, or 5:50, with a half-hour radio pregame show. So anytime there's a home game, you get that with Dave Buchanan, myself, and John Gertler. And then John Gertler always on the road, so he will be out in Calgary with a half-hour pregame show before faceoff, which I think is 8 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday night.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the time, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Go Bills. Go Sabres. Go Bandits. What a time to be a Buffalo sports fan.
What a time to be a Buffalo sports fan indeed. That's Steve Bermel, color commentator with the Buffalo Bandits, and eyes on the NLL everywhere. So it was good to have Steve there on the West Hurrah Hotline. And this Bandits update brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment. Three great locations in Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game.
I'm going to have to get to a game here pretty soon.
Well, you have an opportunity next when Vegas is in town.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, okay, we can maybe make this work.
Maybe, yeah. Here's to hoping, right?
I've only been to one. Right. I already feel kind of...
You went 0-60 because you went to a championship game.
Well, and I've been open about it. I feel a little gross that, like, the first one I go to is, I'm going to go to the three-peat championship game.
Yay!
Should I have fun? Is it going to be crazy?
Should I have fun?
Of course.
It's gonna be awesome. No, you need to sit there in silence because you haven't been there the whole time.
But I already, like, feel gross. I'm like, I've got to get to a regular season game because I had such a good time. And I've got, you know, a lot of people that work here go to Bandits games often and have been telling me now for 2-3 years, like, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go. Even it's not like season tickets, but you just got to go. And I had a wonderful time. It was great.
It's good to do this segment too, because in years past, I even worked with the guys, John Gertler, Steve Bermel, Dave Buchanan, upstairs with them a couple times behind the scenes. And that was before, you know, 2020 and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was good to actually learn the game. And that was something that I was able to do when being up in the booth with those guys. And Randy Mearns, who joins them during halftime for some of the games as well. So, Zach, this is the penultimate segment of our Christmas Eve show. So,
are we going to talk about Christmas movies or Christmas dinner? What are we feeling?
I don't. We already did the Christmas movie thing. We both have acknowledged we barely watch a lot of them.
I feel bad.
I don't. You like what you like.
Yeah.
And you know what? For me, it's the background noise. Like for your family gatherings mm-hmm. and everything like that. This year, it's going to be the avoidance of watching bad football teams.
And I'll tell you, the NBA schedule, it did not jump out to me. Which is unsurprising. It's the regular season. It's not going right. to jump out to me. But it didn't enough
make for me it sound to be like the Bills are playing, or the NFL's playing playoff games on Christmas Eve.
Damn.
Or Christmas Day.
The NFL regular season, even with the bad
it's
football.
It's late season, though.
It's late season, even with the bad football. I'll probably find myself there because I'll be like, something cool might happen. Is Detroit going to lose to Max Brosmer and really put a kibosh to all their
plans? I should do. I should fire up the old GameCube.
Oh, there you go.
Entertain the nephews that way.
There you go.
Teach them how to deal with being not good at Super Smash Bros.
Teach them early. Let them know
as it's intended.
We'll take a quick time out here. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a beautiful Christmas Eve. And this is WGR. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Christmas Eve edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Today's show, as always, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. While we've been busy today, we were able to get connected to our fans. When we do so, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com.
So, wrapping up on this Christmas Eve here, you know, we have off tomorrow and everything like that. I did want to take a moment to get a little sentimental, so to say. No, there's not going to be any crying or anything. But, you know, we've been doing this show now together for a good amount, for a year.
For about a year, yeah.
For about a year. This kind of marks that because it was us two sitting in here, and Josh and I had texted each other at, like, 1 in the morning the night prior,
mm-hmm.
or, well, I guess 1 in the morning on Christmas Eve, about the Sabres breaking that 13-game yeah. losing streak and concocting an open for that.
Good for you, too.
Right? But, you know, it's something like that. Thank you to everyone that's been around for the ride for us, because we've been doing this show for, along with Sal, for a year now. Mm-hmm. This setup that we have, that we've been here anchoring it down in the middle of the week, and Sal is able to do the bookends for it. And it's, you know, thanks to our boss, our program director, Alan Davis, for allowing us to be here. Thank you to Sal for being such a support for us and helping us along the way and, you know, kind of taking on the tough ones, the day after a game
the day or after losses
or talking to the coach, yep. you know, he does the heavy lifting on that. But, you know, it's a nice way to at least step back and take a moment and really reflect on it. Like, it's been a fun year on this show. And thank you, Zach, for being the friend that you are and for us to be able to utilize this friendship into doing something that we've wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. It's been awesome. It's been a blast.
To everybody that's listened to us, engaged with us, talked to us, tweeted at us, hated at us. Appreciate all of you. So, you know, there we go. I can get off the soapbox now.
We'll be back on Tuesday. This is just more of a reflection of the year.
It's a reflection of the year because, like, that's kind of the holiday spirit sometimes. You step back, you appreciate the things that you have. And I did want to channel that a little bit here to end this show.
What better way, though,
to further channel it when both teams have refused to lose?
Right. Bills
through
four
the last
row,
3 weeks.
Sabres now 7 in a row. I mean, we've heard it in Sal's poem as well. Like, even the local college basketball has been very great, except for Syracuse. Ooh, I don't feel that bad.
As a matter of fact, okay, so the Sabres have a grand total of 3 losses in the entire month of December.
Good for them.
The Bills. Did they sneak a loss in at all in December?
They may not have, actually.
I don't think they have. They have not.
Real quick,
nope.
Yeah.
Nope, the loss was November 20th. So, yeah, it's been a minute since we had some losses between those two teams. All the more to appreciate.
It's been a good year for Buffalo sports. Hopefully, we can keep going into 26, where, as you mentioned, a lot of times it's where the pain starts. So hopefully this year, with a very, very wonky AFC playoff bracket, might be fun. We'll see. I mean, the Rams are third in their division right now and are still one of the favorites to make the Super Bowl. That's going to do it for us today, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry
Enjoy
Christmas.
The time off. This is WGR.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.